stand now just for the reading. That's a blessing. So we'll just try to keep that up, okay? But 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I want to read just a few verses here, probably six verses here. And I do want to look at prayer just a little bit tonight and just kind of keep us focused. And as we said the other day, and I know Miss June, she testified about prayer there on Sunday night. And if there's one thing that's most needed in our churches today, amongst Christianity, amongst our families and our personal life, if there's one area that we need the most, but we do the least of, that's pray.
Amen.
If we're going to have a powerful church, we're going to have to spend time in prayer.
Right.
Yeah. If we want power in our ministry, we're going to have to spend time in prayer. Sunday school teachers, same way.
Right.
If you want to have a powerful Sunday school class, you want to teach with the power of God, you're going to have to pray.
Right.
Moms, dads, you want to have the family that you know God would have you to do. And I know Brother Matt and Ms. Shannon, they're a new family, but just the same way with them as all of us. They want to have the family God wants them to have. We need to spend time in prayer.
Amen.
Prayer is the major thing. I mean, we read all, and it's important to read the Word of God. We're to have a daily intake of the Word of God. But if we don't pray, it's going to all be in vain. I'll just be honest with you. Because us talking to God is important. And then we get to this Word of God, and God will talk to us. But you know, God could speak through prayer. And I don't know how many times that, you know, I'd be praying and Lord will show me things even in prayer. The Spirit of God, through praying, and God would show me things just through praying. But the one thing we need desperately the most is what we do the least of. But I want to look at verse number 1 in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the young pastor, young Timothy, as he's pastoring. As I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good, acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Thank you. May be seated. Pray with me, for me right quick. Dear Father, we come to you in prayer now. Well, thank you, Lord, for your many blessings to us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, caring for us. Lord, we thank you for Rogersville Baptist Temple, a place that we can come to on a Wednesday night and the hustle and bustle of the work week and the school week. And I know many are tired tonight, and Lord, me as well. But we ask God that you'll just strengthen our hearts tonight, strengthen our bodies for just a little while, God, that you'll encourage us and help us. And I pray, speak to us, dear Father. Unless you speak through me, it'll be in vain. And dear Father, we just ask God that we'll accept the challenge tonight, Father, and spend more time in prayer, not just a little lay me down to sleep prayer, but dear God, to beg and to get a hold of the horns of the old, as they would say in the Old Testament, get a hold of the horns of the altar, and just beg God, beg you for help, beg you for mercy, dear Father, to beg you for revival. And Father, knowing our revival coming up next week, we ask Father that you'll just get our hearts ready, and may it start tonight. May our hearts already be started. It should have done and been started. The revival spirits, dear Father, we ask that you'll bless. I pray for Brother Barry as he's there in that church tonight in Thomasville. We ask, Father, that you'll help him. Ask, dear Holy Ghost of God, that you'll minister to him as he ministers to those people and help him and bring him back safely to us this weekend. We love you now, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we read the 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, you about have to go back into chapter number 1 to find out to kind of get the setting of what's going on and in the difficult times that was facing young Timothy in chapter number 1 and looking in verse number 9, knowing this, the law is not made for righteous man, for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane. He's kind of dealing with some things that's going on, for murders of fathers, murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves. Then moving on down according to this glorious gospel, the blessed God. And then he gets to dealing with about grace, the grace of our Lord in verse number 14. Seeding abundant with faith and love. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world. And then ending up the chapter, the Apostle Paul kind of encourages him about being in the warfare. In verse number 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou be by them mightiest war, a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience. You know, asking Timothy to be strong in your faith, there is a warfare going on out there. What you're facing and what was being faced in chapter number 1, holding your faith and good conscience, which some having among concerning faith have made shipwreck. And he's talking about these Hymenaeus and Alexander, said, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. But going into chapter number 2, the reason I wanted to look at chapter 1 just briefly is because of the first three words. He said, I exhort therefore. Because of what I just pinned down in this letter to you, Timothy, I'm exhorting you, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, young Timothy, therefore. He's making a priority now. There's a priority that he's wanting to bring to young Timothy here. And I believe in application, he's wanting to speak to our hearts and saying, I exhort you therefore, members of Rogersville Baptist Temple, that first of all, that is a priority. That is an importance, because first of all, if you look it up in first of all, that means that it's first in time, it's first in place, first in order, first in importance. So because of what we just read about, he's saying, young Timothy, I exhort you there first of all. I'm going to give you something in your life that is a priority, and it must be a must in your life. It should be number one in your life, that first of all, this matter of prayer, that first of all, that priority, and that's the first point I want you to look at, that this priority of prayer. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy in the application, he wants to encourage us, that in your priority, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Praying for all men. But this first of all, when there's much prayer, this is a little statement, quotes I wrote down. When there's much prayer, there's much power. When there's no prayer, there's no power. And then why do we wonder? Then we get to wondering why, that when we come into the house of God and we see that there's really no power. As the man of God has said recently, that he's got good liberty, but do we really have the power? And the man of God, even our choir, at times we've got great liberty. He's got great liberty to preach, and he'll tell us that when he's preaching. I've got great liberty. But do we really have the power, that power of God, that power of the gospel, to go forth that people would get saved? But then when we inventory our lives, Sister Debbie, that what we went through during the week, and then all of a sudden it comes Sunday morning, I've not stopped and prayed, and then we'll say, God, I pray that you'll bless the meeting this morning. Then we'll realize it's Sunday morning already, and I've not stopped and I've took time to pray. But one of the greatest hindrances I believe that we're seeing in our prayer life, I know it is in mine, is just plain busyness. We get ourselves so busy. And not necessarily in bad things, Brother Chuck. Maybe there is good things. Maybe in our family. Maybe in our jobs, if you want to call that a good thing. But we get so busy and wrapped up with family life and job life and our personal lives, whether even if it is a good thing, that we don't stop and spend the time in prayer when the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. David said in Psalms, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. And he promises that he'll hear us. Psalm 65, he talks about, O thou that hearest prayers. It's not, there's no problem on that end. There's no problem on God's end. Because he hears our prayers. He hears us when we'll call out to him. He hears us when we'll fall down on our face and we'll fall down on our knees and say, oh God, this is one of your children. And he can look down and say, yeah, I know you. I know you're one of my children. What can I do for you? But knowing the foreknowledge of God, he knows exactly what we need before we even ask him. But he's just like, hey, look, many times I know what my girls will need. But there's times that I just want to hear them say it. Daddy, can I? Or Daddy, is it all right? I want to hear them say it. And maybe there's just times that we just want to stop and thank him. And just love on him. I wonder sometimes, Brother Darrell, if that ain't what sometimes a lot of our praying should just be. Just that time of worship. Just that time of the thanksgiving, and that's what some of this deals with here. This supplication and prayers and giving of thanks be made to God for all men. Right. Just that giving of thanks. That's like my girls. Oh, I love it when they come and they sit on my lap and they'll tell me they love me. And they'll kiss me and they'll say thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for, you know, thank you for being my dad. And I love you. Well, don't you think the heart of God's like that? That he wants us to just come and say, Father, I just want to take time and love on you. Yeah. Oh, he loves that. He loves it. He inhabits the praises of his people is what the Word of God says. But he said, I exhort you therefore that in the priority of our lives, in the priority, and like the man of God put on the text there, that is a foundation for revival. We don't want Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to come next week and we've not spent time in prayer. Where all it's going to be is just three nights of just a singing and preaching and the evangelist is going to go back on, leave on Friday or Saturday morning and nothing's going to happen. Be like all the rest of them. By Sunday, we're back in the same situation. We're back in the same shape. Homes are still not getting held. Lives are still not getting changed. Lost people still not getting saved. So we're going to have to spend some time in prayer. Like the man of God encouraged me that we get ready for revival next week. I know it's just 3 days, but we've seen some great moves of God in the past just in those 3 days. Amen. And I believe, I'll be honest with you, I believe that if we'll spend some time in prayer, I believe we'll really seek God. If we'll really beg God by Wednesday, next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, boom, it can start right off the bat. And it won't be the fact that on Friday we finally get revived. And that's most revivals. Yeah. Most revivals. Right. You know, and I thank God this is a little unusual, church. But, you know, most revivals that you'll go to on Monday night, dead. It's laying on the floor. And maybe by Friday night and finally the honey bucket will dump over. Finally getting the glory. But then the scheduled revival meeting. But that's when we've got to continue in prayer. And we've got to say, what are we going to do with it? When Brother Pace is gone on Saturday, what are we going to do with it? Amen. So why don't we start now? And God help us, we should have already been started. To my shame as well. Just creeps up on you before you realize it. Because of busyness. And it's hurting our prayer lives. It's hurting our church lives. It's just getting us down. and we get discouraged, we get despondent, things is going wrong in our life. And for you know it, we've not went to God with it. We'll go to everybody else. We'll go to the man of God. We'll call up Brother Chuck or Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so, and I need you to pray for me. I want to get to the place, Miss June, that when somebody says, pray for me, that I would be able to do it.
Amen.
Say, okay, I will. And then knowing deep down in your heart, you wouldn't be ready. And that's to my shame many times. Brother Chuck, when somebody say, pray for me, okay, I will. But then I have to go home and spend an hour praying for myself before I can even pray for Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so that asked me to pray for them.
Yep.
They're in a bad situation. Hey, sometimes prayers can't wait a week. When somebody wants you to pray, they want you to pray right then.
Right.
They want you to get a hold of God right then.
Right. Amen.
That's the foundation. It's going to have to be prayer. That's the priority of prayer. Much prayer, much power. Let me ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, but let me ask you, how many really, I mean deep down really, and I really believe I know the answer to this, but how many really wants the power of God at Rogersville Baptist Temple? How many really wants the power of God in your family? How many really wants the power of God in your individual life? I believe there's not a soul in here that would say, nah, it don't matter. Don't matter if I have it. Well, that's a shame. And I'll say to you, shame on you. Because sinners is expecting us to be right with God. Sinners are expecting us to be prayed up. Sinners and other saints of God. We have families in this church that's really going through it. And some is in this place tonight. And they're expecting us when we come to RBT on a Wednesday night that we've been prayed up, that we've been in the throne room, that we've prayed priority in our prayer life, that we get a hold of God. And it won't be a dead service. Because they don't want to go out the door. And I know there's been times that I've done that. I almost stayed at the house. Because I didn't feel like it. Didn't want to be a hindrance. And I told a gentleman that yesterday. He said, I know sometimes I miss church, and I feel like I'd be a hindrance if I went. And I said, Kevin, I said, I've been like that. I said, but we're gonna be in worse shape if we stay at the house.
Amen.
It ain't gonna help us a bit.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna help us. We'll be in worse shape.
That's right.
But this priority in prayer, that's where we're missing it. I really believe that. I mean, you can read all you want to. You can study all you want to. But if you don't season that thing with prayer, you don't season your life with prayer. Just like those saints of God, when they come in, they're expecting us. They're expecting the members of Rogersville Baptist Temple to be prayed up right with God. We don't have time for silliness. We don't have time to play church. And I'm preaching to myself tonight. There's no time. Because I know, if you know as well as I do, you look at the news, you look around at the world situation that we're living in, and you can actually go into Timothy, where it talks, in these days perilous times shall come. Hey, every bit of that's already. Perilous times is coming. It's already here. We realize the perilous days, those dangerous days, those demonic days are already here. The devil has brought out his big guns. And he's put strongholds in our lives and strongholds in people's lives that needs to be torn down. I hate the devil. And that's the reason I want to make sure my prayer life gets off the ground. I want to make sure my prayer life is 100%. That is an area, I'm going to confess it to you, that is an area I fail.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord. It's an area I'm failing at. And that's the reason I'm expecting to study more on prayer and learn more on prayer. I mean, Sunday morning, I desire your prayer. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Been going up to Smyrna Baptist. I'm preaching up there Sunday morning, Sunday night, for Brother Brian, where he just can't preach right now. And I'm already thinking it's going to be about prayer. Because if that's anything, if it's something that's going to turn a church around,
yeah.
If I don't get to another point, I'm really dealing with this, the priority. It said, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession. If there's anything that's going to turn a church around, that'll turn a discouraged church around, it'll turn this church around, yeah. It's going to be the people of God.
Amen.
Would turn their face to the ground and beg God, God, we need help.
Amen.
You know the days that we're living in. You know the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. People are expecting us to get a hold of God.
Yeah.
They may mock you. They may criticize you. But you wait till they get in some trouble. And I've had it happen.
Yeah.
They'll come up and say, sis, I know I've made fun of you. I've criticized you. But I know you pray. And how many times is RBT's church, people that we don't even know, but they know the members that come to RBT, and knowing that if that member prays, I bet that whole church prays. And I want us to keep that reputation.
Amen.
That we are a praying church, and I believe we are. I believe we've got some good people here that'll spend time in prayer. It wouldn't hurt me to come up to any one of you and say, pray for me. I know you prayed for my family in the past, and I know you prayed for me, and I know you prayed for other families and other individuals. I know you'll pray for your man of God when he preaches. I know you'll pray for the man of God when he's in revival. So it don't hurt me to say, will you pray? But he said, I exhort therefore the first of all, that priority.
Amen.
Let's go on just a little bit, okay? Look at the second thing, the people of prayer. In that first verse, it said, a giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, we've all learned this in English, and we've learned that here at RBT, that all means all.
Amen.
All mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, that we pray for all men.
Right.
A praying church will be a powerful church. There's two areas, even in this building, there's two sets of people that goes in this category of all men. You've got two sets of people. You've got the saints.
Yeah.
Say, Brother Craig, I ain't no saint. Well, are you saved? God puts you in the saint category.
That's right.
You may not act like it sometimes, and I may not act like a saint, but I'm still classified.
Amen.
Because if I'm not in the saint category, I'm in the sinner category.
Right.
Two different people. That's all there is. And in this building, we have them. We have saints, we have sinners. That's the reason we are to cry out to God, because, and I've done and dealt with it about other individuals that's really going through it. Prayer be made for all men. And then sinners, we need to beg God, get back to praying, intercessory prayer. There in verse number 1 where it talks about intercessions, really a praying for those lost people. And that's been a challenge that should have been in September, and I hope that we accepted that challenge, that pray for the lost people. May that still burn in our hearts. Those that you've been praying for that still not come through those doors, that still not get saved. I wonder sometimes if we really realize when we pray the reality of hell. You think about that lost person. You think about that lost brother, that lost sister. You think about that lost mom and dad, that husband, that wife. You just think. You say, I love them. Do you really love them like you say you do? If you really love them, you'll beg God. God, you're going to have to convict them.
Right. Amen.
Cry out to God. Say, I don't want them to die and go to hell.
Amen.
But I really believe that we've lost the reality of hell. Have we forgotten that those loved ones that we love so dearly, where they're going to end up when they take that last breath? That's intercessory prayer. Get in a desperate situation, saying, God, we've got to have some help here.
Amen.
Just believe God. Some of the saddest words, and I've told you so many times, some of the saddest words in all of the Word of God. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. We doubt God. God, I prayed for it. I prayed for it. It's not happening. I prayed and begged God for days and years and months, and it's not happening. Why should I continue to pray? Just about the time you quit praying, God was going to come through and convict that heart. I don't want to give up on my prayer. I don't want to give up on praying for my lost family members. And I've got some. I don't want to give up. First of all, the priority in prayer. Then we've seen the people of prayer, all men. Let me flip over to Titus. You can jot that verse down. But Titus chapter number 2. And again, all this, even this verse right here, shoots the Calvinistic doctrine in the head. The Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teacheth us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. But by that grace of God brings salvation appeared to all men.
Amen.
All men are to be saved. All men. Whosoever will. Amen. I still believe that. But look at it, verse number 2. Not only for all men, but we're looking at these people of prayer. Contrary, whether we like them or not. In verse number 2, God's wanting us through the Apostle Paul to pray for the kings.
Yeah.
And for all those that are in authority.
Right.
We still got to pray for the president. We still got to pray for those governors, those county mayors. We still got to pray for them, whether we like them or not, whether they're not your party or not.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Lord help us.
Whether we want to believe the Bible or not, God sets them up. God has reasons for doing what He does.
Right.
He knows exactly who's going to be what. He knows who's going to win in 2012 if we're going to have to go through four more years or we get a new man. To me, they're all crooks. But we want the best one. We want who God wants. But we got to pray.
Right. Amen.
Pray and believe God, that God turn this country around. For kings and for all that are in authority. All that are in authority. Yeah, pray for those teachers, kids. They may be wicked. They may not. They may act like they don't love you, but you pray for them.
Right. Amen.
Pray for your man of God.
Right.
He's in authority.
Amen.
Kids, pray for those moms and dads. Adults, as moms and dads are still living, I'm to pray for my mom and dad.
Right.
All those are in authority. I want you to look at the purposes of prayer. Purposes of prayer. Looking also in verse number 2. It's giving us a recipe right here of what to do and what's going to happen in our lives. Even though there's still going to come storms and trials. And if you read the book of James chapter number 1, where it talks about, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That God will put trials in our lives. God puts tests in our lives. To mature us and make us what we ought to be, because He's wanting to conform us to the Son of Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
There in Romans chapter number 8, and it talks about there in verse number 29. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why does He want to do that? It's because in verse number 29, we'll read 28, but we miss number 29, where it says He's conforming us to the image of His Son.
Amen.
You want to be like Christ? Expect trials. You want to be like Christ? Expect storms. You want to be like Christ? You expect a crucified life.
Amen.
Amen.
Purposes in our life. Number one, it's a way of life. Look at this. For that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's what I was talking about. Even though things, the storms going to come in our lives. Spiritually. And there can still be joy in our heart. Even through the storms. You know, that's all joy is. It's just an outward profession of an inward possession. That we can still have joy in the midst of our jailhouses. We can still have a hallelujah times in our hard times. We can still find blessings in our battles. But that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Look at this. This author gives us this good definition of quiet and peaceable. Quiet is the circumstances around us. This peaceable is the calm attitude within us. That's our way of life. But the purposes in prayer also, not only is a way of life, to have a quiet and peaceable life, even having joy through trials, in all in godliness, that's just being godlike. And in honesty, I want you to notice also, not only this purpose of prayer is the will of God. Look at verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable. What is the priority of prayer? That we've supplicated, we've prayed, we've intercessed, we give the thanks to all men, that we've prayed for those in authority, that the peaceable and quiet life. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
Amen.
In the sight. That just caught my attention, Brother Darrell. In the sight. When we pray, we're in His vision. When we're on our knees in prayer, when we're finding ourselves at the kitchen table, we're sitting there with our Bible, and we bow our head. We pray over our food. We are in His sight. And when we're praying, we find it here in the Scriptures that it's good and acceptable. It's a good way of life. It's an acceptable way of life.
Amen.
Hey, it's a priority thing. Prayer. It's our foundation. It's a foundation for revival. It's a foundation for the power of the church. It should be the foundation of our ministries. Should be the foundation of the Rogersville Baptist Temple going forward. It's good and acceptable. You know what I thought of another verse of Scripture where it talked about good and acceptable? That's in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it is the perfect will of God that you yield your life, surrender your life to Him 100%. You don't wait 20, 25 years after you get saved to say, I'm going to go ahead and surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we encourage our young people. As soon as you get saved, go ahead and say, I'm surrendering it all for the glory of God. I'm going to surrender my life to go forward. I'm going to spend time in prayer. Let me tell you, young people, if us adults ain't going to do it, young people, you make sure that number one priority in your life is prayer.
Amen.
Be a woman of prayer. Be a young man of prayer. There's people in my life right now that if I need a good prayer warrior, I know I could call. And you all got them too. But you know, I want to be one that you can count on me. And I want you to be one that I can come to you. The purpose is a prayer. Good and acceptable. But I want to end off with this. Someone said that prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. There's lost people that needs to be saved. Look at verse number 4. Who will have all men to be saved, to come into the knowledge of the truth. 1 John 2 and 2. I'm going to get to my last point. Let me read you three verses of Scripture. 1 John 2 and 2. He's the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, we'll draw all men unto me. The lost need to be saved. Lost lives need to be changed. And I want to know if there's a group of people at a Rogersville Baptist Temple that'll get a hold of the horns of the altar, find themselves in prayer, even in James, and it just hit me that James, he prayed so much that they said his knees was so calloused. It was like camel's knees. And that's what he was known as, the camel knees preacher, the camel knees prophet, because he prayed so much. I know a preacher right now, actually it's Brother Barry's cousin, he'll preach for him Friday night in the Jubilee over there, Friday night. And I know, unless they change the carpet, but even Brother Barry will tell you this, there's a spot where Brother Stanley prays on the altar. And he's even when he's by himself, he'll pray in that same spot. And you can go to that spot. Like I said, unless they've changed carpet or anything. But you can see where those two knees. Man, I want my life marked by that. Maybe not necessarily knee marks in a carpet or callous knees, but in my life, that there's a difference in my life and say, boy, that man can get a hold of God. That's the first thing I noticed about Brother Barry Rackley. And I've told this. Maybe for you new ones, I've never told this. But at a camp meeting in Gray, Brother Sammy Allen asked, and I wasn't even coming here then. He asked for that man of God, Brother Barry Rackley, to pray. And that guy prayed. I looked at the piano player. It was our choir singing up there. I looked at my piano player and I said, man, I'd like to hear that man preach. If he can preach as good as he prays, he can preach. Didn't know that I'd be 16 years under that man of God. Amen. But his prayer marked me. That's the first thing I ever heard of. And that's the way I want to be. That my life will be marked by my prayers. That my prayer life will make a mark in my home. As a daddy, as a leader of the home, if I don't pray, how do I expect Miss Donna to pray, to follow, or Kaylee or Kara, if I'm not going to pray? And I've been a failure. Look, my girls, I've been failures this area. And I won't take it up another notch. But if we want to see revival. But this, let me give you this person of prayer. The person of prayer. Look at it, verse number 5. I guess for outline's sake, the person of prayer, right here he is. There's one God. One mediator between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Because of who he is and what he's done for me in my life. Everything I have, it's because of him. When I get in trouble, I can run to Jesus. I can run to that city of refuge. I can run to my refuge. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I am. I can run to the man Christ Jesus. When the devil comes and tries to accuse, be the accuser of the brethren, tries to devour me, I can run to Jesus. He's that person of prayer. I can come boldly to the throne room of grace. But with a foundation of revival and a revival coming up, I want to leave you with one verse. I hope that we got something out of the message, but 2 Chronicles 7:14. Right here it is. I really would like for you to turn, but if you know it by heart, mark it, memorize it. But right here, I believe, is the key. You see our part and you see God's part. Verse number 14. If, there's condition. If. That is a big word. It may be small in English language, but it's big in meaning. If my people. And I want to ask you, are you one of his people? Now I know in the Old Testament it's talking about Jews, but in application right now, he is talking. In inspiration, he's talking to us. If my people, which are called by my name, first of all shall humble themselves. Ain't that hard to do sometimes? Shall humble themselves and pray seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, Brother Barry's preached on this, if and then, here's God's part. If we as collectively, as RBT, we as collective as a family or an individual, if we'll do this first part, God is bound by His Word. It said, then will I. God don't lie.
Amen.
Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I'm glad we've got a God that's like that. I love my Lord tonight. Prayer is foundation. It's priority. What we need the most, we do little of. Forgive me. I found one. I thought God gave me one more verse. And if He don't show me any others, this is it. In Ephesians chapter 6. You go through the warfare. You go through all the armor. It comes down. The soldiers. Talks about the soldier's enemy. His energy. His enemy. His equipment. In verse number 18, the soldier's enemy. Soldier's energy. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer. Let me encourage you and me. Take it up another level.
Amen.
Take it up another notch.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe we'll see. I believe we'll see more happen at RBT than what's happening. And God's blessing.
Amen.
But not to the full potential. But I believe this is. I really believe this is the reason. Is we're not praying like we want it. Not like we're expecting it. God help us. God help us. Let's all come around the altar and pray. If you've got any special need of prayer, I know there's a lot.